2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Structurally, this belongs to the previous chapter, because that's where we see the promises. What promises? I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. The promise to us is that we should become the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And I like what he says, but it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him. Now, pardon me. When we read this, how many modern minds can seriously read this and take it seriously? Perfecting holiness? That is an idea that Paul just throws out there, like, of course, and which I know modern pastors, perfecting holiness in the spirit, maybe, but in the flesh? And I personally see it the other way. It's easier to perfect holiness in the flesh than it is in the spirit. Because the mind and the realm of the spirit are much more subtle. Meaning it's easier to appear outwardly righteous than it is to know you are righteous inwardly. You know, having a promise to that end, though, we go forward in faith, seeking something that we don't even understand. We don't even know what it would be like to be perfect. I know people have told me, oh, well, if you were perfect, you'd be a sinner because you'd have pride. Or it would be your own righteousness. And that's nonsense. Because perfection is the righteousness of God. I mean, if you truly were perfect, that can't be your righteousness. That's God's righteousness. Because only God is perfect. So if you manage somehow to be a perfect person, at least, and again, everything is targeted. Perfect doesn't mean when you walk, you never accidentally stumble over a little piece of rock in the way. And I don't mean that as an allegory for sin. I just mean it as we are still human, but we are holy and upright in our moral character and behavior. That is what we are to be shooting for. That is what we are supposed to be, you know, working for in our lives. We have this promise that we are going to become sons of God. And earlier I just quoted, you know, from 1 John chapter 3. About, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, etc., etc. It doth not appear what we shall be, but in that same chapter, he also makes it very clear that he said, little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Sin is not acceptable for a son of God. And if we're becoming sons of God, then sin has to go. There's no two ways about it. And, you know, when I got the Holy Ghost, the first thing I did, one of the first things was go back and reread my entire New Testament. And, oh my, what a difference it made. I saw things that I had been ignoring. I saw things that I had been sweeping under the rug. Things that I had made excuses for. Well, the perfection is only a imputed perfection. If that's the case, there'd be no point in saying perfecting holiness, because Christ would have already perfected it. Why? What would there be for us to do? Now, we know the works are finished in him from the foundation of the world, but still, from our perspective, we have to do it. Not to get saved, but it is the manifest token of our salvation that our lives begin to conform to his life, so that when we see him, we're like him. It won't be like, You know, some people think, like, I'm going to suddenly walk into the kingdom of God and I'm going to instantly change into a different person. I mean, I'm going to stop being a selfish, greedy, you know, drunken, fornicating kind of person. I mean, people think that they're going to, they have all these sins going on, right? And they're going to suddenly just, that's all just going to stop. And I'm going to walk into the kingdom of God and be all holy. That's going to happen? Forget it. It's not going to happen. Could it happen? Of course. God could make, you know, like you look at the thief on the cross. He just had, I don't know what his life was like up to that point. I can't even speak to it. But, yeah, Christ forgave him. But there was another thief there who he didn't forgive. Keep that in mind as well. He forgave the one. And yeah, and you know what? When I received the Holy Ghost, I had a transformation of my character in many areas, but not all areas. I didn't suddenly become a walking miracle in my own eyes, though at the time it seemed like it, because the changes were so dramatic for me. But as time went along, other things were revealed in my character that I had not really perceived. I didn't see I was selfish. I didn't see elements of pride that I had. And so on and so forth. You know, I didn't see everything that was in my heart. And I probably haven't seen it all yet. But I know this, that according to the promises of God, I will see it. And it will be exercised from me. And that in this life I will perfect holiness. I will cleanse myself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And the reason I put this in terms of me is because that is how I want you to look at it. In terms of you, I want you to say, I need to cleanse myself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. How? Having these promises. God promised it. Isn't that good enough? God promised that he would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't you know that that's why Jesus died? Well, yeah, I know he died for my sins, but I thought it was just to take the guilt away. Well, yeah, it takes away the guilt. And it also does more than that. It helps you live a life that is blessed. This is Acts 3:26. Unto you first God.